Okay. So we were just discussing Tosos, the famous Tosos. Again, I think of the famous Tosos because the Reb Chaim. The famous Tosos, the Rassel Shakira, who started with a stira. Let's just put this stira on the board. What's the stira? Over here in Ksubos, Lamed Aleph, Amed Aleph, we have the case of Zorek Chetz, Vikara Shira'in. Right? He shot an arrow. In the middle of the arrow flying, it ripped a shirt. And what do we say? We say, Potter, Mimamo, right? Potter, because of Kimlu Ravine, because of the principle of Akira, Sorech Hanacha. That's our sugya. The stira is to Baba Kama Daf Ayin Amad Beis, where you have a case of Zrok Genevo Sayech Lachatseri, right? You're doing Hachnos on Shabbos, throwing from the Rishos HaRav into Shayochid, and you're also doing Tvicho Mechira, because you're selling the stolen sheep to a purchaser. And what did we say there? We say it is Chayav Mamon, because the Mechira is before Kodim, the Chiyuv of Shabbos. Right? As soon as it lands in the airspace. Sorry, not lands. As soon as it enters the airspace, it's Chalos Mechira. You're not Mechal Shabbos until it lands. So this is the Stira of Tosos. Tosos, as we pointed out, there's a Tosos here and a Tosos there. I apologize. I meant to put the Tosos there, at least on Makoros sheet 11, after I quoted Baal Peh, but it slipped my mind. Tosos basically answers the stira and says that there's no difference between the cases. There's no difference between the cases. Both cases should have the same din. All both cases have different dinim. So we have Rabbeinu Tam and we have the Ri, who are both similar in that they don't really have an answer. What is it, Rabbeinu Tam? Do Rabbeinu Tam just says it's a machlokes amoraim, meaning according to Rabbi Avin's the one who says akira tzarech hanacha, this is pater, and this case would also be pater. But the Gemara in Baba Kama is not like Rabbi Avin, and according to Rabbi Yirmiya, this case would be chayav, and Baba Kama would also be chayav. So really, there's no difference. The cases are the same. Just that Baba Kama happens to be talking Aliva Rabbi Yirmiya, and in Ksubas, it happens to quote the opinion of Rabbi Avin. How does he know there's such a Rabbi Yirmiya? Because in Gittin, Rabbi Yirmiya thinks that if you pick up your friend's wine and pour it out to Avodah Zarah, you are Chayev, because first you picked it up and then you poured it to Avodah Zarah. And he doesn't think the Akira is the Tzorach of the Hanacha of the pouring it out of the Nisach to Avodah Zarah. So therefore, and the Gemara Baba Kama even sounds like Rabbi Yirmi is different than Rabbi Avin. So Rabbi Tam holds this Machlok Zamorim. And I'm in the Tosos for all the, I'm sure, remind in the Tosos, and so exactly the Makor and why Rabbi Tam might be right, why he might be wrong. The Re in Tosos and Baba Kama. In Baba Kama says, they could have said Akira Tzorech Hanacha. What does that mean? In this case, you're Pater because Akira Tzorech Hanacha. In this case, also Pater because Akira Tzorech Hanacha. The Gemara didn't say you're Pater because Akira Tzorech Hanacha. The Gemara had to come on to a different case. So the Rishon says, obviously, a little bit, but they could have said Akira Tzorech Hanacha, but instead they found something else to say just to make everyone happy. But really, they could have said Akira Tzorech Hanacha. So you see, both Rabbeinu Tam and the Rishon think there's no difference between the cases. They just give a technical answer. However, the Rav Chaim points out that the Rambam cannot agree with any of the Baalei Tosos. All good Rav Chaims, you might have noticed, start the same way. the stira between two Gemaras. Tosos says a technical answer like Machlokas Amorim that takes away all the fun of Talmud Torah. But luckily, the Rambam quotes both Gemaras, and therefore it's still a stira, and we have to answer it with a substantive conceptual answer. So this is definitely classic Reb Chaim in that sense. Right, a lot of Reb Chaim say, you know, the Reb Chaim about that Pekua starts that way. Many Reb Chaim start this way. How do we know the Rambam? It's a diuk, but it's such a strong diuk as to be mochrach. How do we know the Rambam cannot agree with Tosos? Because the Rambam, in the perek of Kimlud Ramini, his main perek of Kimlud Ramini, the third perek of Hilchos Kneiva, why Davkin Hilchos Kneiva? Probably because a lot of Kimlud Ramini sugyas are in Perek Meruba, where it discusses Kneiva in Bava Kama, so the Rambam often sometimes makes his own conceptual structure, sometimes he follows the order of the Gemara. So the Rambam says here, on the one in Halacha Beis, it says, Zar chitz b'shabas, mitchilas arba l'sof arba, v'kara beger chavir b'alichaso, etc., etc., etc. Patr ben atashlumen, she'isr shabas, she'isr give a headache, b'ang ta'achad. On the one hand, the Rambam paskas like Rabbi Ovid. Right, so, the Rambam cannot be Tosos, because in this case, he paskins patr like Rabbi Ovid. But what about the case in Bava Kama? So in Bava Kama, he says, "Ganav umachar b'shabbos." Sorry, v'imnaseis malachar b'shabbos eisa mechira. If you do mechira, you're talking about mechiras gneiva dal v'hei at the same time as chol shabbos. Potter mitashlumi al dal v'hei. You're potter. What's the case? Ketzad kigon shlo hikna lo atchan tenuach b'chotcha lokeach shenimzik shahos v'shos l'shos shabbos chiv b'am geachad. Says when are you going to have kimud rabine? If you make a stipulation that you're not machne, you're not selling him the sheep until it lands. But if you wouldn't make a stipulation, the idea is very clear. If you make a stipulation, then you're potter him the rabbinate. If you don't make a stipulation, you just throw it regular. And as soon as it enters the airspace, it's sold. And when it lands, you're machal Shabbos. Then there wouldn't be him the rabbinate. So this is clear diuk that you are chayav. Right? So the Rambam clearly thinks, like the Pshat in the Gemara. In the Pshat in the Gemara by Kami, you're chayav because the sale happened before it landed, but Pshat in the Gemara by us, that you're putter, because I hear it's our harapas, so it all counts as one big action. So then the Rambam still has a stira. So how do you answer the stira for the Rambam? That's the question. So, there are, I guess, three basic directions to take in answering the stira. We'll start with, Reb Chaim. What? Why not the Meiri? You learned by the Rav and you prefer the Meiri to Reb Chaim? Sacrilege? He would have kicked you out of shira on the spot.
The Rav didn't really know the Meiri, right?
And he didn't know the Meiri, but he didn't like the Meiri.
Remember once in shira, it said somebody kept on pushing the whole time. The Meiri, and he was very irritated.
Yeah, they quote him as saying that he didn't think the Meiri knew how to learn. there was a famous Purim spiel like that. You don't remember the famous Purim spiel? You know the famous article how the Rav talked about the Rambam came into a Shia room and the Ravi came into a Shia room? It's a famous story, right? So they did a Purim spiel once when the Rambam came to the Shia room, Rav Tam came into the Shia room, and the Rashi came into the Shia room. So I knocked on the door, the Meiri was ready to come into the Shia room. He stepped in, the Rav looks up and says, Meiri, get out of my Shia! So let's start with Rav Chaim.
The reason he didn't like the Meiri is he saw so many in his work.
That, I don't know. Okay, that's, we're not going to psychoanalyze here. For that, speak to Eric Tepet, Division of Labor. So, let's start with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, in a very, very famous piece in the stencil here, trying to explain the Rambam. Reb Chaim says there must be a difference between the cases. Well, obviously, to answer the student, there must be a difference in the cases, but what is the salient point? What is the difference? So Reb Chaim figures out maybe the difference is what type of Chol Shabbos we're talking about. What type of Chol Shabbos? We're all talking about throwing something. But there's a subtle difference. One is Hachnasa, Mirshus Lurshus, and the other is Havaris Dalanamos, Mirshus Arabim. So, whoever was here last year remembers at great length that we discussed this. Reb Chaim says, what's the difference? Chiluk Bein Hotza'a, I know, Tachnasa. le'havara. There's a difference between dal rashus rabim and hotza'a. What is the difference? In hotza'a, now this is an assumption. He makes a couple of assumptions here. In hotza'a, first of all, he assumes akira tzorach hanacha. It doesn't depend practically what you're doing in one time and one action, what you're doing together. It matters what is halachically a significant part of the chiyuv misa of the Chol Shabbos. Says when it comes to, and I admit this is an assumption, when it comes to hutzah v'hachnasa b'vakama, the mechayev is the akira and hanacha. You're oker it from place A and you're maniach in place B. How it got there doesn't really matter. Obviously, it has to get there. So it's getting to the akira and hanacha. But the mechayev is the akira and hanacha. Therefore, says Rav Chaim that when it comes to hachnasa v'hutzah, the mechayev is akira v'hanacha. Ah, when is the chiyuv? So therefore, what does he say? The chiyuv misa is. Sorry. Comes b'shas akira and shas hanacha. The chi of mamon comes when it's in midair, right? When it crosses the borderline, right? When it goes over the fence in midair. So then it's not the same time, right? Therefore, it's not simultaneous. However, when it comes to our sugya, we're not talking about hotzar hachnas. We're talking about reshus l'shus. We're talking about Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabin. What's the Mechayiv of Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabin? He says, no, it's not just the Akira and the Hanacha. What do you mean? You're Oker from Rishus HaRabin, Miniach from Rishus HaRabin. Why could that be Mechayiv you? I was Oker and Miniach in the same place. That should be Mechayiv me? That's not a bad thing to do. That's not a Malacha to be Oker and Miniach in the same place. The Malacha is the carrying Dalet Amos. I'm not supposed to carry so far. So therefore, he says, when it comes to Havaras Dalet Amos, Birshus HaRavin, the Mechayev is moving Dalet Amos. Because I'm in the same place. It's not that I left one place and entered another place. I'm in the same place. So what's so bad? What's so bad isn't that it left one place and ended up someplace. No, what's so bad is that I carried Dalet Amos. This Torah said not to carry. The shear of carrying is Dalet Amos. Right? So therefore, every Amma that I'm carrying, just like you know, the Torah said not to thresh. You shouldn't thresh in kugrogris. So if I thresh a little and thresh a little and thresh a little, that's all part of the malacha until it adds up to a kugrogris. The Torah says not to carry. How far? Dalet Amos. So if I carry one amma and two amma and three amos and four amos, that's all part of the mechayev. So therefore he says the mechayev is moving Dalet Amos. Therefore, what do we say? The chiyuv misa is the entire, what's the shas of the chiyuv misa? Is kol shas hahiluch. Right? As long as it's going, that's the mechayev. What's the mechayev is that it's moving amos and amos and amos and amos and amos. So as it's moving every inch, every amma, that's the shas chiyuv misa. And the chiyuv mamon, of course, is in midair, right? It rips someone's shirt in midair, meaning during the hiluch. And therefore, it is simultaneous. And that's what our sugya, says that Akira Tzorach Hanacha, what it means is, what's his one assumption? His one assumption in Kibbalud Rabbinay and one assumption in Shabbos. His assumption in Kibbalud Rabbinay is that Akira Tzorach Hanacha doesn't have to do with what's practically necessary to do what? It is Rechayim. It doesn't mean, are you practically have to be Oker to be Miniach, right? That's in some of the Rishonim in number 3 on the sheet. 4, I mean. Do you have to be okered miniach practically? No, akira tzorach hanacha is about what's halachically necessary as part of the malacha. Akira tzorach hanacha means that the chiyuv misa is not only when you're actually chayiv misa, it's when you do whatever is halachically the machayiv of misa. That's his first assumption. You have to look not at practically what's necessary for it to land, but at halachically what's part of the malacha. And his assumption of the Shabbos is that if you want to know halachically what's part of the malacha, there's a difference between Havaras Dalet Amos even though they're within the same Abulacha, there's a difference in Havartzal and Amazon, it's our Rishos Lershos. Rishos Lershos, it's the Rishos and the Rishos, Akir and Hanacha. What's in between is not part of the Machayev, just Akir and Hanacha. As opposed to, when you throw Dalet Amos from Rishos Rabin, no, the Machayev is not the Be'ikr, the Akir and the Hanacha. Well, those are innocent, the same place. I can pick it up and put it down. The Machayev is that I walked or threw or moved it. Dalet Amos. Therefore, the whole Dalet Amos is the Machayev. He would say many other nafkaminas. I mean, we're not going to cover everything last year. Just like classic example. 1 second. If I pick something up in Rishos Hayah, I think he would say, if I pick something up in Rishos Harabim, and I carried it inside and put it down, even if in the middle I wasn't a shogig anymore, I would still be chayav a karban, because in the middle is not important, just the akir and hanacha is important. Even if in the middle I was anus, even if in the middle I became a shote, whatever, doesn't matter. The akir and hanacha are mechayiv. If I carry something down amos versus a rabbin, if I carry one amos and then the middle two amos, I'm not a shogig anymore, I'm an anus or I'm a shote, I'm somehow potter, then I'd be potter. Because all the other amos have to be bechiyuv. Okay, that reminds us of the Gemara in Perek HaZorah. We won't get into it now. That's Reb Chaim. This Reb Chaim is kind of, yeah.
So according to him, if you find an arrow from Shusha Rabin, you wouldn't have Rabbi Avin wouldn't apply.
Exactly. If I fired an arrow from Shusha Rabin to Shusha, Rabbi Avin wouldn't apply. Rabbi Avin only talked about a verse Dalet Amos Shusha Rabin. That's the Chiddush of Reb Chaim. Now, this
element, I didn't understand it. Isn't there an element of Lemafreya that only when you get to that last second of the four Amos, it turns out that everything's Lemafreya? And Reb Chaim puts it all together as one totality.
Okay. You're right. It's the Gloy Mils Lemafreya, but once the Gloy Mils Lemafreya, all four Amos are part of the Machayev. Look, that would be the same thing if I threshed on Shabbos. If I thresh an ounce, an ounce, an ounce, I haven't done any Chol Shabbos, but when I end up doing a true road rest, you go, I guess I'm afraid that it was all part of the law. Doesn't necessarily bother me.
Okay.
Yeah.
If Akira's Aruch Hanafa is understood as referring to the Halakha and Machayim, so then what's, how do you understand Gemara's question of getting to Tahanba and Tahanba and Achila?
Okay, excellent question. We'll come back to that. Great. That's exactly what the Rishonim are debating. We'll come back to that. Now, besides Yaakov's question, in here it actually says in the stencil that it's from the Eben Ossel, meaning the stencils are not what Chaim wrote, right? It's what the Talmidim wrote. So this wasn't the notes that the Talmud took. This is actually they took from the Sefer. The Eben Ossel was the Talmud who learned about Chaim, and in the Eben Ossel he quoted this part of Chaim, and he himself argued on Chaim, and says he doesn't like his assumption about Hilchos Shabbos. This assumption about Hilchos Shabbos is very controversial. Mostly, I mean, he has his raya, which you could agree with or disagree with. Mostly because he's assuming this whole chakira about Havaras Dalet Amos Birshos Harabim. How do you understand this? So Reb Chaim understands that it is unlike Hotzah Mirshus Mirshus. Rather, it's just an Isser of carrying with a shear of Dalet Amos. Hotzah Mirshus Mirshus is about changing the type of place that it's in. Havar's Dalet Amos is not about changing the place that it's in. Then the Akir and Hanach will be important. It's just about carrying. However much you carry, that's how much anavera you've done. When you go for Amos, you carry it enough to be chayiv. Many Rishonim disagree. The Baal HaMor famously in Masechta Shabbos, and many other Rishonim say the same thing. The Baal HaMor and many Rishonim say otherwise. They say no. Really, Havar's Dalet Amos, mostly they're trying to explain why Havaras Dalet Amos is not on the list of Avos Malacha. Why isn't it not Malacha? If it's different than Rishos Lushos. So you could say it's different but similar. And so they're about carrying. They say no, Havaras Dalet Amos is Hotzar Rishos Lushos. How is Dalet Amos for Sarabim Hotzar Rishos Lushos? Yaakov?
How do we show say? Dalet Amos is considered Lushos.
Exactly. Dalet Amos is Makomo Shal Adam. We know, we dash in the Pesukim in the Torah, that a Mako of an Adam is his Dalet Amos. Letting in Tchumen, for example, we say, if you're standing in the middle of a field, your Makom is Dalet Amos. And from that Dalet Amos, then you measure a Tchum. But your makom is Dalat Amos. If you leave Metzia, we know, right, that within Dalat Amos you're quoted the Metzia because it's your makom, even though it's Rabbanan, it's based on a Daraisa probably. We know, for example, also in Tchumen, if someone leaves the Tchum, they can't walk anymore, they can still go within the Dalat Amos because that's their makom. So therefore, what does he say? The Balamor and others say no, that this is a type of Hotza'ah Mir Shusler Shus, because Dalat Amos is Rishuso Shel Adam. Therefore, every Dalat Amos in the street is a new Rishus. When you go from one Dalat Amos to the next Dalat Amos, then you're going from Rishus to Rishus. They're both Rishus Rabbins, but one is like one Rishus and Rishus Rabbin, like your Rishus and Rishus Rabbin, one Makom Rishus Rabbin, you're going to a different Makom Rishus Rabbin. So, without getting into more details, consult your Chazir notes from last year. I know Ellie wanted us to spend a whole week Chazering all the subtleties and the different ways of understanding it and the Rambam and the 15 Nafkaminas, but I decided that, since it was just last year, we'll be so much on that. The Chazav Sofer says, right, within 12 years, within 12 months, you don't have to Chazir things. That's right, that's why Parsha Zohar only once a year, even though it says Zohar without saying how often, because you remember things for a year.
Twice a year.
He answers that takes care of leap years, that Chazav Sofer says. Oh, what about leap years? The answer is, he says it's saying twice a year, so it covers leap years.
I thought that's what people like me.
So this is a fundamental Hakira. This is one of those fundamental Hakiras in Hotza'ah. It's a verse Dalat Amos about going from Rishus to Rishus, because even though it looks like one big Rishus, really it's a different Rishus. Or no, Havarz Dalat Amos is not going from Rishus to Rishus. It's just carrying four Amos. Rav Chaim clearly holds it's just carrying four Amos, therefore it makes this fundamental difference. Other Rishonim would disagree, and the Ebn HaAzel there disagrees, right there in the stencil. They quote the Ebn HaAzel himself disagreeing with his Rebbe. And he says no. He said, look in many Rishonim, or he brings a riot from the Gemara, that Dalat Amos is really the same as Rishus to Rishus. Therefore, Rav Chaim's answer wouldn't work. Okay, the big debate, which way does the Rambam hold? There, it depends how you're medayik in the Rambam. Rav Chaim clearly held that he doesn't care what Balamor thinks. He's answering the Rambam. The Rambam holds like him. And that's a big debate. So that's Rav Chaim's answer, based on this very fundamental yisod about Havarz Dalat Amos Rishus HaRambam. Rav Chaim's answer is not the only answer. The Shittim Gubetzis here quotes from the Tosos Rosh a different answer, which I must admit I don't find quite as attractive. And I don't know if it's considered the same paragraph. The next paragraph he quotes from Rav Yeshaya. I think the Tosos Rosh is in Bava Kamma, not here. I don't think it's in our Tosos Rosh here. I think it's in the Tosos Rosh in Bava Kamma, which we don't have. And then he quotes from Rav Yeshaya in Bava Kamma. An answer which is very, very mechudish, and I'm not sure that I'm particularly attracted to. The Shittim Gubetzis, their quotes that it's far from Pasha, but let's see the answer. They make a different chaluk. The Tosos Rosh says the difference is what you need, where you need the thing to go. It's not a difference in Havara and Hope and Rotsam Rishus Loshus. The difference is when you shoot the arrow, this is an Okimta, but a reasonable one. When I shoot the arrow, I want the arrow to land somewhere. That's why I shoot the arrow, because I want it to land somewhere. And that's an assumption. Maybe I shot it because I wanted to rip the guy's clothing. The assumption is he shot the arrow because he wanted it to land. When I throw the sheep into your rishus, I want to sell it to you. I don't care if it lands. I just care if it's sold, right? So I want to make money. It's sold when it, in midair, when it crosses the borderline, when it goes over the fence. Do I care if it lands or not? I don't care if it lands. So that's the chiluk that he makes. He makes an assumption. The assumption, very reasonable assumption about the comment, that I'm selling it to you. I care that it enters your airspace. I don't care if it lands. The assumption, which is not necessarily a speculation in our sugya, that when I shoot the arrow, I dafka want it to land in a particular place. So he says that's the chiluk. The chiluk is chiluk because in ksubos you want it to land, and in Bava Kamma you don't care if it lands.
He's calling it even if it doesn't land?
Yes, he's calling it once it enters his airspace, he's calling it even if it doesn't land. Correct. Let's say some very peculiar thing happens. It enters his airspace, and then it gets struck by lightning and burnt, and it never lands, then he's still Kona. Or if it enters the airspace, and then, I don't know, some like eagle swoops down and carries it away, then he's still Kona. I don't know how likely that is. So what? How does that answer the question? So the Tosfos Rashi is a big chiddush in Hilchos Shabbos. A big cool in Hilchos Shabbos. I don't know if I would personally have wanted to go so far. He says, over here, you're potter because you did melacha b'Shabbos, right? But in Bava Kamma, what's the big chiddush of the Tosfos Rashi? Bava Kamma, why is he chayav mamon? Because he didn't do, we're talking on the Deraisa level, of course, meleches machsheves. Right? He didn't do Chilul Shabbos. There's no Chilul Shabbos midoraisa. Right? Because there's no Chilul Shabbos. Well, if there's no Chilul Shabbos, then of course you are chayav mamon. Okay, Rashi and Bava Kamma notwithstanding Rebbe Kalka. We're in Tosfos. And everyone else disagrees with him. So, what's his big chiddush? His big chiddush says, of course there's no stira. In our case, it's kimmun rabbinay, because you did chol Shabbos. In Bava Kamma, of course no kimmun rabbinay, because you didn't do chol Shabbos. He has a different interpretation than everyone else about Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma didn't mean you're chayav mamon, because they were different times. No, chayav mamon, because there's no chol Shabbos at all. That's a new pshat in Bava Kamma. New pshat in Bava Kamma. Chiyuv is not because the mamon was earlier than Chilul Shabbos, like everyone else says, but because there is no Chilul Shabbos. Again, I mean on the Doraisa level. I don't mean this is Motzul Chachila. Why is there no Chilul Shabbos? He says, well, you're not Chayiv until you have an Akira and a Hanocha. And Atulech Machsheves means you have to have Machshava for the Hanocha. Since all you wanted to do was throw it into his airspace and you didn't care if it lands, you had no machshava for the hanacha, so therefore the hanacha is not meleches machshavas in your potter. This is reminiscent to us his comparison is not so tight. This is as if you shot an arrow 2 amos and then it accidentally went 4 amos. Okay, that's not such a good comparison. I understand if something happened by accident, that's not meleches machshavas. Here, he wouldn't say anything happened by accident. You meant to throw it into his chatzer. Just, you couldn't care less if it lands as long as it gets to his chatzer. So that's a big chiddush. His big chiddush is that, even though you knew it would land, you threw it into his chatzer, you knew it would land. But you didn't need it to land. You couldn't care less whether or not it lands, even though you know it's going to, and that's the normal way of doing things. That's not considered melechta machsheves. So that's a big chiddush, because really that sounds like segregation, right? I cut off the head of a chicken. I don't need the chicken to die. I apologize. I don't need the chicken to die, but I know that when I cut off the head, it's going to die, and that's the normal way of the world, and that's called segregation, and I'm chayav. So over here, I just need to throw it into a schutzer. I don't need it to land. Whatever. I know when I throw it into a schutzer, it lands. That's the way to throw it into a schutzer. You would think this is called segregation. That's why this Tosfos Rashi is such a chiddush. I understand. If I actually thought it wouldn't land, and it landed, let's say I threw it, I meant for it to bounce back to me, and it landed there. Then of course that's not molecular shows on potter. But over here, I threw it into his chutzer wanting to go in his chutzer. I know when it goes in his chutzer, it's gonna land, right? It goes in over his fence, of course it's gonna land. So anyway, I'm potter because I didn't specifically want it to land. That's no psych ratio. I want to do something. The thing is like, has different elements to it. If I want to do it, then I'm chayav for all the elements.
The chorus is not decoration because it's not even the same as Gabi. I have a perfect kavanah to do what I'm doing.
Why can't you say from lachshon tzicha legufa, which Tosfos equates with decoration to lomichle? Why can't you say from lachshon tzicha legufa? So it's also, so it's also a little funny.
I need the dirt and you don't need the hole.
Yeah, say maybe this is lachshon tzicha legufa. Of course I knew that it would land. But since I don't need it to land, that's lachshon tzicha legufa. So okay, maybe that's the Rashi reason, but that's still a very big chiddush because Melach Shein Chalugufa, I understand there are two very different aspects here. I need something, but I don't need the part of the malacha at all. Like, I'm digging a hole, I only want the dirt. I don't want there to be a hole, I don't need the hole at all. Over here, it's a little funny. I want to throw it into your chatzar. I don't need it to land, but like part of throwing it into your chatzar is that it lands. That's really like a different thing that I don't need. Like, I want to throw it into your, I need it to be in your chatzar. I just don't need it to land there. Come on, being in your chatzar and landing there is the same thing. I call that malachshin zikalagufa. It's a big chiddush. The Shittim Gretz's quotes are being in Shaya and everyone else who disagrees with this chiddush. This is a big kula. Big kula in Malachas Masheves. Big kula in Malachas Masheves. I find it hard to swallow. I mean, aim the dumber self. You're going to end up being, it's a good limud zchus. You can probably find every, like, a non-from Jew and say they were never Mechal Shabbos d'oraisa based on this rush. You'll just say in every Malacha d'oraisa, there's like one part they didn't really intend. You know, that therefore, I don't know if you can really do it or not, but it's an interesting, it's an interesting question. It seems like, I don't know, it seems like too big of a chiddush, for me.
If you don't have a Chayin to Shabbos, so if you go B'kivun Melechim of Shabbos, you have to deal with intention, then you have a big problem. But if you go Melech Shein Zichu L'Gufo, all you have to do is what he wants. I mean, not so much his intention, but his knowledge of what's going to be the outcome.
Right, but a Sakina Harifa that's saying he wanted it to enter your field and he didn't want it to land, that's still a very subtle killer.
Difficult. I think that's
right.
A little less.
Okay, I hear the time. What? Sorry? Correct, meaning his mucker is not from Lachshon Shichlu, from Lachshon Machsheves, which is very hard. I mean, his mucker is difficult. He says, you know what this is like? I threw it someplace and it went further than I thought by accident. That's very different. There went further than I thought by accident. Here, it wasn't an accident. I threw it into his chatzar, of course it's going to land. Which is exactly what Rabbi Yishai says in the next paragraph. It doesn't seem, unless you want to say that it's all Lachshon Machsheves, but you're right. This rush is very difficult. The case he's comparing it to is clearly not comparable. He's comparing it to a case where an accident happens that goes someplace I didn't mean it to go. That's not the case here. An accident happened? No, I meant to throw into your chutzner, and of course it would land there. Right? That's not an accident. It's a very big chiddush, this rush. It's a tremendous chiddush, this rush. I think it's a tremendous chiddush, personally. Okay. And so together with Sonim, we don't say it this way. But that's the Rush's opinion. He makes this big chiddush, this big kula in Melech Machsheves, that if I intend everything, I just don't care if it lands or what do you mean I don't need it to land? Like it should be suspended in midair? Like that's Psychratia. Of course if I throw it, it's gonna land. Otherwise, where's it gonna go? Right? Of course I intended it to land. I'm throwing it, I want it to go over the fence into your field, and then what do I want? Of course I wanted to land.
It remained hanging there.
I couldn't care less if it landed or if gravity went on strike and it stayed in midair. That's silly. Right? So the rush is a big chiddush. Even though, what's a big chiddush? I knew it would land. And I intended to do a process that necessarily included it landing. But since I didn't necessarily care whether it landed, I just cared that I needed to get into your shus, and whatever gets into your shus lands, that's called not Melech Machsheves. That's a big kula, but okay, it's the rush. So maybe it's true.
He only does the makna.
No, he has das makna and das kona. That you have.
Das makna. He wants it to land in his field. He doesn't. Not going to be makna.
Oh, you mean das kona.
Das kona.
That's an interesting question. No, but we assume that minastam stam das kona should enter his airspace, and even though the kona would like it to land. Right? It's a king and whether it lands or not. You're right, the Kone cares if it lands. But the Machna doesn't care. And here it's the Machna who's Chayiv Dalad Behei. I don't care if it lands in your field. I just care that I sold it to you. And that you're going to pay me.
There's no king in the field. That's the
Kone. No, because... but the assumption that since the Kone normally is doesn't really think that it'll get struck by lightning or taken away by an eagle in midair. So the Kone, his Das is as soon as it enters the airspace, that's good enough. We know that the Gemara later says they can stipulate that there's only kinyan if it lands. But unless you stipulate, we assume the Kona is willing to take his chances. Okay, it's pretty good chances. Now, this rush is a big chiddush. You know, I can't say I'm terribly attracted to it. I can't say I think this is mainstream. The Rabbeinu Yeshaya, quote unquote, that's here right after the Tosfos rush, says another big chiddush that I don't really understand to answer this question. He goes in the same direction as Rabbeinu Yeshaya, as Tosfos rush. Rabbeinu Yishai, that's the next paragraph of Shittim Gretz, says the same chiluk, but and he takes it in a different direction. Same chiluk in a different direction. He doesn't think, really, you can pop to the guy and say there's no chiluk Shabbos. He doesn't like that excuse. That's like, he thinks that's what Lady Yitzchak Berdichev likes, to pop to even chiluk Shabbos, excuses like that. That's not a real excuse. Rather, he wants to say that Akir Tzor Hanacha, I'm sorry, give me a second. Or Ellie?
You're asking
a very valid question. But a question which is a question regardless of the Tosis Rush.
No, my point is that he's no worse than the Noshita's Imsaka.
I know, but okay. So what Ellie's saying is that look, there already is such a question out there in the world. The Gemara in Pesachim says that Patrick is Eino Miskaving. If I let's say I walk down the street where you smell nice smell of Avodah Zarah, but I don't mean to, then I'm Patrick of Eino Miskaving. So he says, but in that case of Sikresha, I meant to walk down the street. I knew walking down the street is smelling that, so why isn't that Kavana? So for the same reason, that's Putter the Shem Putter. And that's what Ellie's saying. So what I'm going to answer Ellie is, first of all, you weren't in Shir for Pesachim, I see. Okay. Was anyone here in Shir for Pesachim? I don't know. It's been a while, right? Pesachim was 4 years ago? I don't remember.
More than a year, we don't know.
Okay, 4 years ago. You were in Shir for Pesachim, but not this one. But we always say the same thing in the end. So first of all, that might be different because there you're talking about smelling something which is not done through an action at all, which is merely passive. Could be different because that's something in Surya Hanan, the famous Ran, the Surya Hanan, there are different rules of Sikresha. Or, most likely, that's not really a good comparison. Walking and smelling are really two different things. You can say, I meant to walk from place A to place B, but I didn't mean to smell something on the way. I was just stuck with it. Over here, it's a much bigger chiddush. It's not like, throwing it and it landing are like two different things. I meant one, not the other. They're really part of the same process. That's like, over there, I understand. I meant to walk from my house to my mother's house to visit her. I didn't mean to smell anything on the way, but some idiot was burning incense to Avodah Zarah on the street. Over here, it's like, I meant to throw it, but I didn't mean for it to land. That's like, I meant to cut off the chicken's head, but I didn't mean for the chicken to die. It's not so comparable. Here, there are two totally different things. It's really one organic process.
But see, the Rishonim don't explain it that way. The Rishonim explain it that because you could have put your hands in your ears, or because you could have closed your nose, therefore that's considered a segregation of the intellect, even though you did.
Yeah, but that's not going to help us here. You couldn't have thrown it without landing.
No, you could have. But you could have done the Rikinian. You could have.
Okay, that's not comparable. It's not comparable. Ellie's trying to answer. I don't know. I don't think it's comparable. Over here, you couldn't have thrown it without landing. That's exactly the point.
You could have done a different Kenyan.
But you didn't do a different Kenyan.
Okay, then to my hands.
Over there, you could have walked a different way, but you didn't.
No, I could have put my hands in my ears.
Okay. Peseder, alright, we will leave this as a debate. Okay, Ellie's wants to defend the Rush. Not that I have anything personally against the Rush. Chas v'shalom. I have no vendetta here. But I think it's generally assumed that this is a big finish, this Rush.
You want the guy to get the sheep, and presumably, I mean, you
want no, I just want it to be Kona the sheep, so he'll give me the money. That's the I hear the time now, but yeah, it's a chiddush. You're right, it's a chiddush. Mistama also wanted to land. Yeshaya says, "Come on, what kind of idiot when he's mocked at something doesn't also want it to land so the customer will be happy and satisfied? He doesn't at least a little want it to land so the customer gets his sheep. It's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. Yeshaya's right. Okay, when Yeshaya says something I don't understand either. He says also that's the difference, but then he says. He says, Akira Tzor Hanacha is a matter of psychology. What does he mean by that? He says, in this case, I'm Potter, because we say, Akira Tzor Hanacha, because he needs the Hanacha. In the case of the arrow, again, we're assuming he needs the arrow to land someplace. He Davka wanted the arrow to land someplace, which is an assumption, Kenta, but fine. Since he needs the Hanacha, the Akira and Hanacha are considered all one big action, because it's working towards something he needed. Meaning, when we say Akira Tzarech Hanacha, not because of physically the Akira is necessary for the Hanacha, not because halachically the Akira is necessary for the Hanacha, because psychologically he needed to do an Hanacha and he needed to do an Akira to get to the Hanacha, and therefore, psychologically, it makes it all one moment. However, in this case, we say Ischayev Mamon because we don't say Akira Tzarech Hanacha. Why don't we say Akira Tzarech Hanacha? Because he doesn't need the Hanacha. He doesn't care if it lands or not. He doesn't need the Hanacha. Since he doesn't need the Hanacha, then you can't say, oh, everything is necessary for Hanacha, because psychologically he doesn't think anything is necessary. So he doesn't need the Hanacha. He admits there's Chol Shabbos here. Because what he needs the Hanacha, it's a separation. But since he doesn't need the Hanacha, you can't say Kirat Tzarech Hanacha if he doesn't need it psychologically, and therefore it's considered to be not simultaneous, because once you don't say Akira Tzarech Hanacha, so the Chiyuv Dame comes before the Chol Shabbos. It's a big chiddush that Akira Tzarech Hanacha is a matter whether subjectively he needs the Hanacha psychologically, and I don't fully understand what the lumdus is behind it, but that's what Rabbi Yishai says. Rabbi Yishai and the Rush are similar in that they're both, as opposed to, meaning the general directions are, this is one general direction, which is not make any difference. A second general direction is Reb Chaim. Difference between Hotzah and Havara. A third general direction is the Tosus Rush and Ben Yishaya. A difference between if you care about it landing or you don't care about it landing. But both the ways they take it are a little dachuk. Okay. Now, we're up to the Me'iri, right? Who wanted the Me'iri here at first? Okay. So, we ran out of space a little there, so we'll just continue. Continued. So here we have Subos. And here we have Baba Kama. No, I'm actually a fan of the Me'iri. I was just trying to, trying to defer and have covered a Torah for Rabbeinu Agadol. I love the Me'iri. The Me'iri says a different chiluk. The Me'iri is bothered by this question, and he says a different chiluk. What's the Me'iri's chiluk? What's his basic chiluk? He has a different chiluk. He says there's another difference between the two cases. What does the Me'iri say the difference between the two cases is? Says the Me'iri, he says chiluk between what and what? Exactly. What's the mumbo? The Reb Chaim says, what's the Misa? Havara and Hotzah look the same, but are really different. He says, no, not difference in what the Mammon is, than what the Misa is. Difference in what the Mammon is. Obviously, in the case of our Gemara, Karashi Rai, the Chiyuv is Mazik. In the case of Baba Kama, the Chiyuv is Mechira, Tzvichu Mechira, Dalai Behei. So he says, chiluk between Mazik and Mechira. And what leaves us a little hanging is that the Me'iri does not care to elaborate further. He thinks it's obvious at this point. Well, obviously there's a difference if the chi of mamon is because of mazik or the chi of mamon is because of mechira, and therefore it's very clear. Okay, what does he mean though? Why should there be a difference if the chi of mamon is because of mazik or because of mechira? Either way, it seems a similar case, right? I'm doing Kol Shabbos, in mid-air there's a mazik, and in mid-air there's a mechira. So, why should it be a distinction? So, how do you explain the Me'iri? What's shot in the Me'iri? Right? The Akronim need to explain the Me'iri. And they do, not to worry. What's shot in the Me'iri? Why should this be different? What?
An arrow.
What?
There's an arrow.
So what?
And therefore, arrows are different.
Arrows are different than sheep. First of all, that's not what the Me'iri says. He doesn't say it's different than the Chavsa. He says it's a difference in the Machayet, and that's going to be much harder. What do I care if it's an arrow or a sheep? So what does the Me'iri mean? So here, I guess you have two different ways of explaining the Me'iri. One is in the Divrei Yecheskel, who we spoke about a little as the youngsters were filing in. Why? So the Divrei Yecheskel explains the Me'iri. Right? The Divrei Yecheskel explains the Me'iri Kacha. He says, what's the difference? He says, the Akira Tzarech Hanacha, this is very different from Chaim. He says, what counts as the same as the Hanacha? The Akira. flying through mid-air does not count as the same time as the Hanacha. Dafka the Akira does. Why? Because when you do the Akira, that causes the Hanacha. When it flies through mid-air, you're not doing anything. So what does Akira Tzor Hanacha mean? The thing you do that leads to Hanacha is also considered the same time as the Hanacha. So therefore what? So he says his assumption is that only Shas. I really wonder if he's saying the same thing as the Kunshi Shira or not, but he certainly doesn't sound that way. Where is he? I wonder if there are two ways or one way of explaining the Meiri. Let me just look again at the Lashon of Rabbi Yechezkel Borshtein in the Divrei Yechezkel. He says, he quotes the Meiri, and then he said, Biro Tavar, Hu Tekemu Shakrach, Efshne Parm, Chilas Hazrika, Shemayu Dechel Shabbos, O Besof Hanach, Shuzuz Manachiv, O Beemsa Lisachetz, of like a cloud and Misa Lo Shaykhun Rabbine, Rakt, Vakar Shirayim, Beemsa, Miftar Mitam. Okay, I think this. Saying, what does he say? He says, Akira Tzor Hanukkah means only the Shas Akira counts for Kimlid Rabbinate together with the Hanukkah. Right? Only Shas Akira counts as Kimlid Rabbinate. And therefore what? So he says, in Mazik, the Chi of Mazik, the Chi of Mammon, is because of your Akira. After all, when are you chayiv mamon for? You're chayiv mamon for shooting the arrow. I understand, until it rips someone's shirt, you're not chayiv anything. But what you did that makes you chayiv mamon is shooting the arrow, right? That's clear. The mechayiv of the mamon is shooting the arrow. That's what you did wrong. You shot the arrow. The fact that it flew through the air is too late, right? So the mechayiv is shooting the arrow. That is Shas Akira. So we say Kimlid Rabbinei. In the arrow case, Akira Tzor Hanacha, the Akira is the Chol Shabbos. It's the beginning of the Tzorach of the Chol Shabbos. And Akira Tzor Hanacha, and the Akira is what's behind your mom, because shooting the arrow is what makes you a Mazik. Therefore, it's simultaneous. But in the case of Mechira, what's the Mechayav of Dalad Vehei? The Mechayav of Dalad Vehei is the Mechayav Dalad Vehei that I threw the sheep. What's the Mechayav Dalad Vehei? Is the Chalos Mechira, the Chalos Kenyan. I'll give you a proof. If I throw the sheep, and while it's traveling, before it goes over the fence, I change my mind and decide I don't want to sell it, then it's not sold, right? Then I'm not Mechayav Dalad Vehei. Right? What's Mechayav is not the Maisa of throwing it. Because the Maisa of throwing it doesn't make the Kenyan. The Maisa of throwing it, just, it's very Lundish Tzilik. What's the Lundish Tzilik? But it's obvious. I mean, it's Lundish, but it's also common sense. Right? Any reasonable, intelligent person could follow. What is he saying? If I shoot the arrow and rip your shirt, what have I done that makes me a Mazik? Shot the arrow. It's the Maisa of shooting the arrow that makes me a Mazik. However, when I sell you something, it's not my throwing it that makes it sold. It's the fact that it ends up in your chatzer with das matin, das kona, that makes it sold. But the throwing doesn't make it sold. The being in your chatzer makes it sold. Right? Throwing is not a maisa kinyan. What's the kinyan? There's no kinyan zrika. There's a kinyan chatzer. Being in your chatzer is what makes it sold. Throwing is just the background, the hechitensa of being in your chatzer. This is the mechayim dal vehei is it being in your chatzer, right? That's what's the mechira, that it is in your chatzer, obviously with das machne and das kona, otherwise it wouldn't be mechira. Therefore, which is neither Shas Hanacha nor Shas Akira, so there's no Kimlid Rabbinei. That's the way he explains the Meiri. What's the difference between Mazik and Mechira? Mazik, it's shooting the arrow that's the Mechayev. Mechira, it's not throwing the sheep that's Mechayev, It's the sheep being in your chatzer that's mechayev. Kinyan chatzer. And therefore, shooting an arrow, the chiyuv mamon is ba'akira, akira tzor hanachas, yedem chiyuv misa, kimun ravani potter. But in Medal Vehei, the chiyuv mamon is in midair, when it goes over the fence. Midair is neither shasa kira nor shasa hanacha, and therefore, there's no kimun ravani.
Is it only the shasa kira that's a critical point, or also you're not going to have the shasa hanacha, would obviously also.
Yeah, I think you would say obviously both. Now,
but nothing in between.
Correct, exactly. The now, one thing I will admit is that the I'm not sure. I put it in bracket. Couldn't say Shurim and an Achiezer, who has an interesting essay with one line that discusses this Meiri or the Sugya, which is the same direction as Meiri, who I think means the same thing. It could be that really the Couldn't say Shurim and the Dibre Chesel are saying the same thing in different words. I don't know. Couldn't say Shurim, of course. I apologize again. We don't have a Couldn't say Shurim but Mitzi. I keep putting up Brad, of course, on the shelf here. So I apologize if anyone. I have it. I took a picture with my iPhone, so if any case of emergency, at least this simon. I have it here. Maybe I'll send it out for those who, you know, want to have a chance to sink their teeth into it. It's very nice. Kedar Kodesh. That's Rav Gustman. Okay, I don't have to tell you stories of Rav Gustman. You all know the stories already. I always loved Rav Gustman's farm. I first got hooked, got addicted on Baba Kama. I especially like opening the one on Baba Metzia because I got the one on Baba Metzia from my father-in-law who was in Rav Gustman's yeshiva. Rav Gustman was close to Rav Gustman and got it as a gift from him. So it's a bit of a family heirloom at this point, the Baba Metzia volume. If anyone is ever in a farm store, sees it for sale, they can pick it up from Beis Medrash. I'll reimburse them. Anyway, the way the Kuntra Seh Shiurim learns it is a little different. And we already saw this Kuntra Seh Shiurim. Oh, see how much room we have. We already saw this, you saw in the Kuntra Seh Shiurim ones. He says there's Svei Dinim and Kimlu Ravini. There's two types of Kimlu Ravini. You remember, based on the Gemara later on, they said there's one Pasuk Kimlu Ravini if I kill him and damage him in one action. There's a different Pasuk in Kimlu Ravini if I kill someone and damage them at the same time, but with two different hands. Right? Meaning there's two different types of Kimlu Ravini according to the Kuntra Seh Shiurim. Again, you could have learned. There's one type. Whenever it's simultaneous, whether it's the same action or not. But the Kuntra Seh Shiurim, there's two types of Kimlu Ravini. There's Kimlu Ravini same action, and there's Kimlu Ravini of same time. Sha'achas and Maisa Echad. So there's two types of Kimlu Ravini. Sha'achas and Maisa Echad. And what's his yesod that then makes everything work very nicely? His yesod is very, very pashut. His yesod is akira tzor hanacha doesn't mean it's like everyone else thinks. Everyone else thinks, what is akira tzor hanacha? It's as if it's the same time. Right? It's as if it's the same time. He says, no, it's different times. Akira is now, hanacha is 2 seconds later. Akira tzor hanacha means, even though it's not the same time, it's the same maisa. If akira is necessary for hanacha, then it's one big maisa. So it's the same maisa. And the same mice is coming to rob me, name.
Isn't that the Ramban also? Where he says it's one malacha?
We'll come back to that in a moment. So says the Gunsh Seh Shiurim Kacha. He says that Mazik, the Machayav, is the Maisa Hezek. That's clear. What's the Machayav in Mazik? The Maisa Hezek. That I do a mice to damage you. That's what I do in Mazik. And therefore, so, the Mamon and Misa are Maisa Echad. They're one Maisa, even though they're not the same time. Even though they're not the same time. First, I rip your shirt. Then I'm a Chalal Shabbos. But since they're the same Maisa, there's Kimlin Ravmine. But in Dalet Vehei, in Mechira, is the Mechai of the Maisa Mechira? Dalet Vehei, is the Mechai of the Maisa Mechira? Is that what's Mechai mean, Dalet Vehei? I stole something and did a Maisa Mechira? Let me ask you a simple question. Exactly. Simple, very pushing question. Let's say I steal a sheep or an ox, and I go to you and say, you want to buy this? You say, great. So I say, good. Give me the money and take the ox. So you take the ox in your motion. Am I still chayav dalam hay? Of course I am. Oh, I didn't do any maisa. It doesn't matter. I'm chayav for the totsah for the chalos mechira. The totsah, it's not a maisa mechira, it's a totsah mechira. Now, if someone here already wants to say very clever things, like say, you know, maybe that's also why you're chayav, even though Inshad the Varavari, you're chayav for mechira al yishliach, because you're chayav for the totsah, not the maisa. Okay, that's a very clever idea, which we'll save for a few blocks from now. I'm very impressed that you thought of it. That's definitely possible. And if you even want to be more clever and think about other cases where there's an exception to Ein Shleich L'Dvar Aveira, then I think that's a good direction also, and I'm glad you're thinking along those lines, but we'll come back to it. But here it's very pashut. In Mazik, I'm chayev for the maisa that I was Mazik. That's what I did wrong. In Dalmei, I'm not chayev for the maisa of selling it. I don't need to do it. I could sell it by doing a maisa. I could sell it without doing a maisa. I'm chayav for the totsah, for the chalos mechira. So the maisa is not mechayav me. My das maklin, the chalos mechira is mechayav me. And therefore, the mechayav is the chalos, or totsah, not the maisa. So what? So, it's not same maisa. Why is it not the same maisa? Because chilul Shabbos, the maisa is mechayev me, and mechira, the maisa is not mechayev me. So it's not the same maisa, and it's not the same time. And if it's neither the same maisa nor the same time, so there's no kin lei b'derav mine. Let me just chazer for a second what the inside of this country says shiur. What he's saying is that he's tying the kiyut zoch hanachah to his chakira. We had maybe his kiddush, maybe two shirim, three shirim ago, that he says there's two types of kumlik rabbinate. If the misa and mamar are the same time, you're putter. Or if they're different times, but the same maisa, you're putter. Says, what does the kirat sarcha nacha mean? It means even though it's not the same time, you're putter, because it's considered the same maisa. After all, if it's a kirat sarcha nacha, it's all one maisa. If so, then we understand. When do we say a kirat sarcha nacha? When is it an inyan of maisa? Mazik is a maisa and Shabbos is a maisa. It's all one maisa. Who cares if it happened at different times in the maisa? It's all one maisa. But when it comes to mechiv dal behe for mechira, then I'm not chayiv because of the maisa mechira. I'm chayiv because of the chalos mechira. So it's not the same maisa. Chol Shabbos because of the maisa, and dal behe is because of the chalos. So I'm not chayiv because of the same maisa. So if it would have been the same time, it's not the same maisa. If it would be the same time, then it would be the same time. But if it's not the same maisa, because one is the maisa and one isn't the maisa, and it's not the same time, because one is when it's in flying over the fence and one is when it lands, and then there's no kin l'rabbinei, and that's the difference between the sugyas. One, mazik is because of the maisa, so it could be one maisa. However, dal v'hei is because of the chalos mechira, the totsah, and therefore it's not one maisa.
Is there any other you can decide to arrow that that's fine like that? That there's one maisa, then the whole thing after it, it all goes back to the very beginning?
You mean anything besides kocho? Kocho is more obvious. Well, if isha misham chitzav, that's the same thing also.
That's chitzav though. That's like, it's like
okay, so then you're not asking the question. No, there is nothing besides the arrow that's like this, because everything that's like this is called an arrow. It's like an arrow. In a konami, but that's not significant. Okay, so these are the different ways to answer Tosa's question, and out of the different ways to answer Tosa's question, let us just review for a moment. We get a chidushim, all kinds of chidushim about Shabbos, the famous Rav Chaim Chakira. We get some chidushim here in the Tosas Rush. We get a chilgi mazik and mechira, which is not really a chidush. It's an obvious chilgi mazik and mechira. We all sort of thought that mazik was because of what I did, and mechira is just because of the halos happening at a certain time that I wanted to happen, but I don't necessarily have to do it. Also, we see different ways of the beginnings, at least, of different ways of understanding. Akira Tzorach Hanacha, right? Rav Chaim understands Akira Tzorach Hanacha. You got to look at what's part of the halachic Chilul Shabbos. What's part of the halachic Chilul Shabbos? He doesn't look at it. What practically leads to something else? What's halachically the mechayev? Then Rabbi Nishaya looks at it psychologically. Don't look at halachically what's an important stage that leads to something, or practically what leads to something. Look at psychologically what someone in their mind views as leading to something else. And of course, the more push-up shot is that Akir Tzorcha Nacha is a matter of physicality. Just physically one thing leads to another, and that of course we'll come back to. Then we also, the interesting chiddush here of the Kunshei Shiurim, he says, while we might have thought Akiras Rav Hanacha means it's Ki'ilu the same time, he says, no, it's not Ki'ilu the same time, it's different times. It just means there's a different Kimud Rabbani of being the same Maisa. And that's why it only applies to Mazik and not to Mechira. And we'll come back to these ideas in a little bit. Now, we're ready to go on to the next Tosos. The next Tosos takes us on a bit of a tangent. But a very, very interesting and important tangent. Rashi, let's review what it said in the Gemara. The Gemara said, brought a stira. Why don't we say hadbah tzarech achila, that if you steal someone's chalav and eat it, it's considered all the same time, or according to Rav Gustman, all the same action, because I have to pick it up in order to eat it. So the first answer of the Gemara was that what does akira tzarech anocha means? Tzarech means tzarech chiyuni, as they say in modern Hebrew. Tzarech doesn't just mean it's a preparatory stage. It means it's necessary. It means it's absolutely necessary to do anocha and be v'chayiv chal Shabbos. It's absolutely necessary to do akira. It's not called chal Shabbos unless you have akira that leads to anocha, right? But to eat something, you don't have to do hagbah in order to eat something. Why don't you have to do hagbah in order to eat? That's all the Gemara says. You don't need hagbah to eat something. Why not? You don't need hagbah to eat something. You can eat something without hagbah. Just, okay, this is not considered necessarily polite or refined. But don't they have contests like this in some places, right? They tie your hands behind your back and you have to see how many pies you can eat or something, right? Or ice cream or something. What's the... Anyone ever participate in such a contest? If you did, I hope you would not admit it.
You mean bobbing for apples? Bobbing for apples.
Or bobbing for apples, etc.
Beat the clock.
Right, whatever it's called. Okay. Anyway, I don't recall ever participating in such a contest, but I know there's such thing. So therefore, I could just lean over and eat it without any hagbah. No problem. So, says Rashi, Dibur Maschil, Dibay Gochen, Lamata Migimel Tfachim Ba'athil Ubatzer Migimel Lav Hagbahi. He says, I can lean down to within three Tfachim and eat it. Because less than three Tfachim is not called hagbah. Now, it's not exactly clear what Rashi means less, meaning if I lean down, I'm leaning down to zero tefachim, right? So Rashi apparently thinks either it means that I can just pick it up one or two tefachim, and then I still have to lean down and eat it, or I can lean my face down and maybe pick it up with my face one or two tefachim and eat it, but I don't pick it up with my hand three tefachim, I don't pick it up with my mouth three tefachim, I eat it while leaning down below three tefachim. Correct. Has to go through Beis Avliya under three tefachim. So Rashi sounds here like, why can you eat without hagbah? Because if you eat below three tefachim, there's no hagbah less than three tefachim. Now there are two controversial assumptions of this Rashi. The quantitative controversy about this Rashi is, what's the quantitative machlokas here?
Maybe it's
that Rashi says hagbah is three tefachim, while other Rishonim argue, most other Rishonim argue, and say hagbah is one tefach. Now, that doesn't affect shot in the sugya. Meaning, Rashi could have said the same shot with one tefach, right? That's sort of a side point here. You could say the same shot in the sugya with 1, 2, 3, 100 tefachim. It doesn't matter. The shot works. Just fill in the number. But it happens to be, may or may not be coincidence, happens to be that Rashi says here, Hagbah's 3 tefachim. Tosus right here doesn't argue, but Tosus in Kiddushin does, and a few other places in Baba Kama, Daf Chav Tes, and does. And the other Rishonim here, the Rashba and other Rishonim argue, and Rashi and most Rishonim hold Hagbah is one tefach, not three tefachim. Okay, maybe we'll come back to that. The most interesting controversy about Rashi here is Tosfos Kasha. What is Tosfos Kasha? Rashi says there's no Hagbah because it's less than three tefachim. What is Tosfos' problem with that? Yeah, he says, who cares about hagbah here? It's not hagbah less than three tefachim. He says, you know what it means there's no hagbah less than three tefachim? If I kick a soccer ball and it only goes up one tefach or two tefachim, that's not hagbah, it's less than three tefachim. That I understand, that makes sense. If I sit on a seesaw and there's something on the other side and it only goes up one or two tzvachim, that's not hagbah. But over here, we're not talking about I cause it to rise less than three tzvachim. We're talking about it's in my hand, right? Or it's in my hand or in my mouth. Meaning either I take it in my hand, even though I don't take it in my hand, I put it in my mouth, right? That's also called yad, it's in my body. It says, hold on, if you're holding it, then you don't need three tefachim anymore. That's all automatically a kinyan. Says Tosos, Perish Rekunj of the Matami, Gimel, Blahavi, Bav, Kosh, Lurid, Mashaychai, Bav, Davashu, Tofes, Piyado, Obefim. Divinasam, Piyado, Rachmana, Vermina, Begitten, Zarklo, Kalsam, Gereshes, Shurath, Bishena, Tluya, Apagav, the Mirish is Habal, Bafilman, the Boy Hassam, Tluya, Ain't a Master's Day, Gavua, Gimel. Right, so what does he say? He says, there's a kinyan called holding it. Holding it, you don't need Hagbah, Gimel, Tefachim. That's what the Achronim call kinyan. What do they call this kinyan?
Yad.
There's kinyan yad. Who needs hagbah if you have kinyan yad? V'nosim v'yada. Does the woman have to pick up the get? No, it just has to be in her hand. The Gemara says if he throws it into her basket, which is tied to her, so maybe it has to be hanging off the ground, maybe it can be on the ground if it's, maybe if it's in the husband's property, but it doesn't have to be three fucking high, right? If I'm holding something, that's automatically a kinyan. After all, some of the Rishonim Achronim point out, anyone remember why a kinyan chatzar works? The chakira that the Gemara had explicitly in Bavim Tzi in the first parak? Yeah, it's chatzar works as mitoris shlichus, or chatzar works as it's like mitoris yad. So the whole discussion, chatzar might work because it's like a yad. Yad definitely works, right? Chatzar might, it's a chakira, the chatzar is because of yad. But then obviously there's yad.
Say yad works, how does that work?
See, what?
Could you just say, well, how does yad work? Maybe yad isn't done kinyan, maybe yad is hagbah.
Perhaps, although it's a little funny because the chutzar is not might be anything, right? The chutzar doesn't have to pick it up more than three tefachim.
I didn't make a chutzar my shliach either. I was in a man.
Okay, fair enough. You're right. Not mochrech, but certainly pasuk pshat. So that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, what do you mean? If there's a kinyan yad, then you don't need three tefachim. So, if the Gemara asks, right, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara says you can eat without a kinyan first. Right? Why? How? Rashi says, Lamata mi gimel tfachim. And Tosos, and all the, most of the Rishonim here, the Rishonim Sfarad say the same thing. Tosos, and most other Rishonim say no. Even less than tefachim is a kinyan. It's a kinyan yad. It's like lamata mi gimel tefachim kana mi tam yad. That's not a valid answer. So therefore, what's the case you can eat without being kona first? What is it supposed to say? Exactly. If, how am I kona? If I pick it up in my hand, I'm kona. Whether it's 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 tefachim. If I put it in my mouth and I hold it in my mouth, I'm kona, no matter how many tefachim. But what does yad mean? Yad means it has to be supported by my hand. I have to hold it by my hand. Right? Clearly, if, let's just take an example. You see this watch. If I go like this, sorry, you can't see well, this marker, right? I go like this, I put my hand around it, that's not kinyan yad, because I'm not holding it in my hand. If I put my hand above it, that's not kinyan yad, I'm holding my hand. To do kinyan yad, I have to actually hold it, like grasp it, and support it in my hand. So he says, what's the case here? The case here is, let's imagine this is the food. This blue little cap, that's the food. So someone, he has a strange okimta, right? Someone had a stick sticking up from the ground, and the food was on top of the stick, right? I leaned over and put my mouth all the way into my mouth on the stick. I was not yet holding it in my mouth. It was held up by the stick. My mouth was just around it. That's not a kinyan. Putting my hand around something is not a kinyan if I'm not supporting its weight. So putting my mouth around something is not a kinyan if I'm not supporting its weight. At what point does it become a kinyan? When I swallow it and I'm actually holding it and supporting its weight with my throat, and that's already the time of achila, right? So therefore, we've shown I can do achila without being kona first. I'm kona simultaneous with achila, but...
Why not your teeth when you hold it in your teeth?
Because I don't hold it in my teeth. That's the okimta. Sorry, pretend the stick is all the way down, right? Don't pretend I'm holding the stick in my hand. If I'm holding the stick in my hand, then that's a kinyan, right? Oops, I just lost my chilaf. Let's hope it's in, don't step on it, it'll get smushed. Here we go. And then you might slip, chilaf is slippery. Right, pretend that I'm not holding this up. Right, so I don't, if I would do this, as soon as I close my teeth around it, I'm now holding it, and now I have a kinyan. But I don't do that. What does Tosa say? Let's read it inside. Eleanor, let me the hachi perishot. Eboy gun gachin va'achel im huvarosh kana, top of the stick, yahul lishko, so I can lean over, ulatocho ad base bliyaso, and ad base bliyaso, not that I first take it in my teeth and chew it. I stick my mouth over it while it's supported by the stick. While supported by the stick, I stick my mouth over it until it's in my throat. That's a little, gross. And then I swallow, and when I swallow, of course, it comes off the stick. But until the moment I swallowed, I have not been koneh. Therefore, you can eat something without doing a kinyan first. In this weird case where it's on a stick and you manage to get your throat, your mouth over it till it goes in your throat, and then swallow it. That's why, unlike hanacha, you can never do without a cure first. But I'm eating in this one weird scenario. You can do without being koneh first. That's what Tosos and the Rishonei Sfarad here. And the Rishonei Sfarad here say, and then okay, we'll finish the Tosas. Well, and then what does Tosas say? But what if your case is where it's not on a stick? What if it's tam, like lying there in a bowl? So then clearly you have to be kone first. Either you have to pick it up with your hand first, or you have to, you know, stick your face into it and pick it up with your teeth first. So he says, doesn't matter. Even though in some scenarios, you would have to be kona first in order to eat, and therefore you should say, hagbat so'or kinyan, so'orach achila, Tosas ends, since there's some scenario where you can eat it without being kona at first, we don't say about so'orach achila. And in another case, they could have said, besides leaning over the stick, as if your friend stuck it in your mouth, then clearly you were in Kona because your friend was holding it until you already swallowed it. Okay, that's Tosos. The interest of what does he say? Tosos says that what's his lashon again? Barosh Kona, right? If the chilev was tachov barosh Kona, the shacha he leaned over. I leaned over until it was still supported on the stick, but it was in my throat. Therefore, I wasn't kona first. Okay, the question is, so Tulsa is obviously a very weird shot, but he seems to be correct, right? Because Rashi doesn't make any sense, but not so we got that. How does Rashi defend himself against Tosfos? What Pshat and Rashi? So, what's Pshat and Rashi? Doesn't Rashi know about Kinyan Yad? So what do the Akronim explain? Right, so it could be that Rashi here argues with Tosfos, that's the way the Shittim Gubetzos understands it, that's the way the Mekine Shlomo here understands it. Right, that Rashi here disagrees with Tosos and thinks, no, there is no such thing as Kinyan Yad. What's fascinating is that you go through all of Shas, and who's gone through all of Shas? Okay, I like the modesty. You go through a little of Shas. Do you see Kinyan Hagbah discussed many places in Shas? Yeah, Kinyan Hagbah is discussed many places. Kinyan Mashiach is discussed many places. Kinyan Chatzar is discussed many places. You ever see Kinyan Yad discussed in Shas? Does the Gemara ever say Kinyan Yad anywhere in Shas? What?
The Kinyan.
It doesn't say Kinyan, right? Okay, good. Get, it talks about a get being in her hand, but it never talks about Kinyan Yad in Shas. This concept is not found in Shas. I know in Encyclopedia Talmudis there's an entry for Kinyan Yad. But in Shas, it never has the word Kinyan Yad. So Tosfos says, well, obviously there's a Kinyan Yad. What do you mean it doesn't have? It doesn't need to have the word Kinyan Yad. V'nasim b'yada. It needs to talk about Kinyan Hagbah and Kinyan Mashiach and Kinyan Chatzar and Kinyan this and Kinyan that and Kinyan the other thing, because it's not a Mefurash Pasuk in the Torah. V'nasim b'yada. But over here, the Gemara doesn't need to discuss it. It's v'nasim b'yada. It's Pasha. What's in my hand is mine. What do you need to discuss that? The caveman also knew that what's in my hand is mine. You don't need Shas to discuss that. That's Pasha. It's an explicit Pasha in the Torah. So therefore, they didn't discuss it. It's too obvious. Rashi might say, one second, no, they didn't discuss it in Shas because there is no such Kenyan in Shas. Yes, Yaakov?
Even if you do hold of Kenyan, is it, I just don't know, is it, do you, could it be that it's limited to when the machna is no same liya though? Do we have any cases that is it pasha that even if you just pick it up on your own?
I have not seen. I hear the taina. I have not seen such a chiluk, even though that would be possibly an interesting chiluk. I have not seen such a chiluk. I have to think about the lumdas behind it. I haven't seen such a chiluk, but maybe we should think about it. I'm not immediately excited about it. But it could be.
In the next, I'm going to talk about since it's Chashiv Yom Shabbos.
Okay, hold that thought. So, maybe, what's Pshat? How did the Achronim explain Rashi? That Tosos holds there is Kinyan Yad. Rashi holds there's no such thing as Kinyan Yad. Just Hagbah. There's Hagbah, but there's no such thing as Kinyan Yad. Oh, Tosos seems to have a good point. Tosos says, V'nasan B'yada. V'nasan b'yada means clearly the husband puts the get into the wife's hand. It doesn't say the husband has to put the get into the wife's hands and she picks it up three tfachim. It says v'nasan b'yada, he puts it into her hand and we know she doesn't have to pick it up three tfachim. That's the Gemara. It's not just, it doesn't sound from the Chumash like she has to pick it up. It sounds like it just be in her hand. He quotes the Gemara. He throws it into her basket, right? A basket is like a hand because it's attached to her body. He throws it into her basket and that's good enough. Right, you go to Bezdin in their days, and the husband would just give his wife a get, she wouldn't pick it up. Right, so, Tosa seems to have a good point. How is Rashi gonna answer, Tosa's proof? So all the Akronim explain. Tosa says the proof is the Nasa Miyada. So how does Rashi get out of that? What? Exactly. This is one of the big hakiras in Maseches Gittin, right? And there's a Mipesh Mur, Chaim discussed this. There's a famous source about it, and everyone talks about this. Is that is Gittin, when it says by Gittin, because of the Sefer Kriyos the Nasa Miyada, does that mean the husband writes his wife Ashtar and is machna it to her? Like, is the pasuk saying the husband has to be machna Ashtar to his wife and that's what makes her divorced? Basically, one way of reading the pasuk is, and I think this is Tosfos way of reading the pasuk. The pasuk says the husband has to write a Ashtar, call it a get. And the pasuk is what we get, we call it a get. Right? The husband has to write his wife a Sefer Kriyos. And then, look in Choshen Mishpat to see how he has to make sure that it becomes hers. Once it becomes hers, through the normal rules of civil law, then she's divorced. That's how Tosus reads it, right? What's Tosus' assumption? His assumption is that v'nasan biyada equals kinyan, and that get requires a maisa kinyan like dini mamonos. And that's what it means. Why? Because the whole point is the husband writes this get. When the husband writes a get, the wife's not divorced. The wife's divorced when the wife receives the get. What does it mean to receive the get? To receive the get means to become the owner of the get through the dinim of kinyanim. So that proves the kinyan yad. What might Rashi's assumption be a little different? Rashi's assumption might be that no. What does v'nasan biyada mean? V'nasan biyada means Maisa Nesina. Nesina, get has different rules than Kinyanin. It could be there are some things which count as a Kinyan, but aren't valid for Nesina's get. Maybe there are some things that count as Nesina's get, but aren't valid for Kinyanin. Get does not require a Hakna. He doesn't have to be machne the get to his wife. He has to be no saying the get to his wife. Therefore, there's no proof from get to kinyanim. Yes, by get being in her hand makes her divorce, because the mice in Asina, the best mice in Asina is putting in her hand. Okay, he can also put in her chutzer, fine. He had to walk in Yanir, right? He can't, I mean, says the Ephelon himself is getting, but simple shot. Mashiach doesn't help. Hagbah doesn't help. No, it's not about Kinyanim. Chalipin doesn't help. Agav doesn't help. Well, Yeshua Ayin by Agav, rather. Perhaps Agav doesn't help, right? Many Kinyanim don't. Moos Konos doesn't help. No one thinks Midoraisa, if she gives him a dollar for the get, then she's divorced. No, you need Nesina. Nesina, of course Nesina could be in her hand, because that's a Maisa, and a personal Maisa Nesina. And then we're also Myra could be in her chutzpah, even though that's a little impersonal. Fine. But what does that have to do with Kinyanim? Now, keep in mind, I don't want to confuse people. Everyone agrees the wife owns the get afterwards. The question is, what's the chicken and what's the egg? Or, I guess, which came first? Right? Tosfos were accusing, assumed that no. The way get works is the wife has to own the get. They need the Kinyan. Once the wife owns the get and needs the Kinyan, she's divorced. Rashi would assume otherwise. No. He admits that the wife gets to keep the get. But it's that the Maisnesina makes her divorced. Once she's divorced, she gets to keep the get. And there are many precedent for that. Like, for example, if I write your shtar in the field and your cone of the field to Chazaka, you also get the shtar. You don't have to be cone of the shtar. When the halos of the shtar happens, then automatically the person gets to keep the shtar. So clearly, Rashi admits the wife gets to take the shtar home with her. But that's not because the Kinyan made her divorced. Because once she's divorced, there's a rule that when it says in the shtar came true, the person gets to keep the shtar. That's a rule of shtaros. That's a rule of shtaros. But it's not about Kinyanim. The Ktsos and some Reish Samaches brings a few proofs to Rashi. One of his famous proofs, which each of his proofs is based on an assumption, of course, otherwise no one would argue on Rashi, is that your latter, a get is valid even if you write it on Isuri Hana'ah. There's no Kinyan by Isuri Hana'ah. So how is it valid? I write the get in Isuri Hana'ah. What's Isuri Hana'ah? Gets very boring Isuri Hana'ah. I cook Basar B'Cholav, I dehydrate it, and I write a get on it. Or I have more exciting, an idol, right? I take an idol and I write a get on the idol and give it to her. I say, this is what I think of you, and now you're divorced. Or whatever else you want to whatever other clever examples you want to come up with. I guess if he's really acrimonious, he'll give her a bal peor. So he gives her a Isuri Hana'ah, and it's a valid get. There's no Kinyan by Isuri Hana'ah. So it says, this proves Rashi's right. Right? Isuri Hana'ah doesn't need a Kinyan. It just needs an Asina. There's no Kinyan by Isuri Hana'ah, but you can't deny there's an Asina. He gave it to her. Who cares about mumminos? Meaning, Isuri Hana'ah isn't mum. It's not worth money, but who cares? When you care about money, it can be less than shavu proof. Duh, fine. There's Kenyan less than shavu proof. It can be Isuri Hana'ah. You don't need a Kenyan. You just need a Nesina. Of course, what Tosos will answer back is, who says there's no Kenyan on Isuri Hana'ah? Right? Now, okay, there's some sugis that sound like there's no Kenyan on Isuri Hana'ah, some sugis that sound like there's no Bailus on Isuri Hana'ah, but you have to get down to the sugis. It could be, maybe even, this would be Rashi Lashitase. There's a Rashi in Sukkah who sounds like there's no vilus on Isuri Hana'ah on things that have very little value, or there's no Kenyan at least. So it could be fine. Rashi maybe thinks there's no Kenyan on Isuri Hana'ah. How do you divorce wife with Isuri Hana'ah? It's about Nesina, not Kenyan. Tosus would say there is Kenyan on Isuri Hana'ah. Who says no Kenyan on Isuri Hana'ah? There is Kenyan on Isuri Hana'ah. I know he's going to have to answer a few things. And therefore, how does he divorce with Isuri Hana'ah? He's makdeh to her. It's not worth anything. You can be kona something that's not worth anything. Okay, so ties in many other issues to this as well. So this brings up a very, it's not our main topic, but a very fundamental hakira in all Maseches Gittin. Menasim B'yat, not all Maseches Gittin. Much of Maseches Gittin is about the shtar, not about the Nesina. But the Nesina parts of Gittin. Does Nesina mean Hakna'ah, or does Nesina mean Maisa Nesina? And that might be, I mean, the Ktos claims this, and the other Akronim claim this. The Akronim suggests that that's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in Ksubas, right? When the Ktos decides to start discussing Venasim B'yad by Gittin, he says, well, the most important Makor for Venasim B'yad and Gittin is Rashi and Tosfos in Ksubas Aflam and Aleph. Because there, they argue about the nature of Nesina's get. Yes?
According to Rashi, is there, does he not hold the Kinyan Gezela?
Does what?
Does Rashi not hold the Kinyan Gezela? Can you give Pasuk, Vedas and Yadda, the same Pasuk by Gezela, and Yadda is being Kinyan? So,
Okay, so the answer is that...
Same drusha, right?
Yeah, that the Achronim assume... it's not the same drusha. There's been nasa v'yad. They heard it's imhimatsi timatsi v'yad.
No,
same
right? The Gemara says that tzrichasa and something gittin. I mean, both
of them. Tzrichasa for the ribu of chatzar.
That's like
right.
Chatzar.
Right, that's the ribu of chatzar.
No, but the point... The Gemara seems to be assuming that... You would know chatzar from...
I hear the taina. I hear the taina. I hear the taina. The Achronim don't go that way. The Achronim assume that Rashi interprets the thing Himatzi Timatzi B'Yado as referring to Hagbah. But then you have an interesting question. Why is it parallel and Yesh La'ayin in that? We're not going to answer that question now. I hear your time. Okay. The Achronim, when they explain Rashi, need to... and as you can imagine, Agav, right, the Machlokes Rashi and Tosos would have many nafkaminas, right? Anytime you give me something in my hand, Rashi would say, I'm not Kona until I have picked it up. While Tosos would say, what do you mean? Anything in your hand, you're Kona, automatically. The Achronim here, the Shitim Gubetzis here, and the Magine Shlomo here, which is on the Bar Ilan, so I put it here. He gets into a whole long discussion, I admit. The Agav, oh, I'll tell you a nice nafkamina, the Tos points out in some Reish Samaches. I should have put that on the first. He has an interesting nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos. He says, what if Taka, let's say I take something in my hand and I pick it up, I carry it home with me. Then you think both Rashi and Tosfos would agree that I'm Kona, right? Tosfos say I'm Kona because it's in my hand. Rashi would say I'm Kona because I picked it up and took it with me. Right, so in the end, when someone mamish takes something and they pick it up and they carry it, then they both agree. So he wants to say an interesting nafkamina as well. He says, a nafkamina might be, what if shalomi daito? What if I picked something up without das? Right, let's say I
fell into his pocket.
If something fell into my pocket, right, I didn't realize I had it, you know, I pick up my tick. And I don't realize $100 bill fell into it. So do I own it or not? What?
Baget, it's not
chal,
she doesn't know
it. But that's not because of nafsa biyada, that might be because of the shilcha mibeso. So maybe that's a different thing. Okay, let me go back for a second. Another interesting thing that Tos points out is a good raya for Rashi, that nafsa biyada is not talking about kinyan, is after all, what do you always need for Kenyan besides the Maisa? Das. You need Das Kone.
Yeah.
Right? You always need Das Kone, at
least.
Except for Gev. Or it's Balkarka, right?
I think a lot of people got Das Maisa, I guess.
A what? Certainly not Balkarka. Get works Balkarka. Okay, yes, you're right, yes, I am. Get works Balkarka. So he says, with Balkarka, how can you talk about Kenyanim? However, in a Kenyan, Balkarka. Certainly, I don't think we ever heard you can give something to someone and make them acquire it against their will. So then we said, obviously, Rashi's right. Nasa v'yada doesn't mean Kenyan. It just means I see the scene. Because whoever heard of a Kenyan, Balkarka. Okay, you can answer that. David will say, maybe there is such thing as a Kenyan Balkarcha. It's going to be a little stretch. Or you can say, it's Xeris and Vasa, then in this case, there is a Kenyan Balkarcha. You'd have to defend. I'd also point out that it could be Rashi and Tosa to work out well the Shitasa in Gittin. There's an interesting Gemara in Gittin Dab Ayin Ches, Amid Beis. And here, it's just nice. I apologize for throwing it in, but I realized it's nice with Shitasa. The Gemara in Gittin Lama Ches talks about Ayin Ches, sorry, I meant Ayin Ches on the Bays. Talks about Kenyan Karav Law. If he throws again on the ground and it's close to his wife, that's a valid Kenyan. Right? It's a valid Kenyan if he throws it on the ground and it's closer to his wife than it is to him. Without getting into the details. So there's a machlokas there, but Rav Ashi says, I believe it is, Legitin Amru V'lo L'Davar Acher. Legitin Amru V'lo L'Davar Acher. In other words, for Gittin, it doesn't work for Momonos. Meaning, putting it near her only works for Gittin, not for Momonos. Why? Why would it work for Gittin, not for Momonos? Right, I'll read you the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Haiso Medev Shazarabim Vizarko La Karav La Migureshes. Karav La in Migureshes. If they're standing in the street, he throws it to her and it's closer to her, she's Migureshes. Okay, why that is a big machlokas. And then, who is it? Amr Rav Asi, sorry, not Rav Ashi, Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, legitin amar v'lo davar acher. Okay, then we have machlokas. Legitin amar v'lo davar acher. Why? Why would the kinyan of karov law work for gittin, not for davar acher? So this is machlokas we showed him. Rashi, the Rid is like Rashi, the Ramban, and the other Rishonim are like Tosos here, but I won't read them. Rashi says, legitin amar v'lo davar acher. The kigonim zark lachov karov lo va'ava deget. The get who the balkarcha can be la hilkach la'altar v'gitav ba'alma lo says because get is balkarcha, therefore it's hers even with without a real kinyan, without a proper kinyan. But other things you need a proper kinyan. Rashi sounds like, what do you mean the get omru v'lo davar acher? Sounds like, well, since get is balkarcha, therefore it has lower standards than kinyan. This works well, right? Maybe l'shitase. In Gittin, Ayin Ches Amud Beis, Leget Amru, what did they say? They said, Karov La Megreshes. Even though it's in the street, if it's closer, it's Megreshes. Leget Amru, the low, Lezabar Acher. Not for like paying back a loan or something. If I throw you money in the street, you can't say it's yours just because it's close to you. So why is that? So Rashi says, because Get is different from Mamanos, because it's Balkarcha. Okay, what does the fact that it's against the wife's will have to do with the fact that it doesn't actually have to reach her property? It could just be near her in the street. So the answer is, L'cha'ora, that this is Rashi L'shitasa here. Rashi says, in Get, you don't need a kinyan. You just need a Mais Nesina. V'harai, it's Balkarcha. We're not talking about kinyan. No kinyan about Balkarcha. It's not Nesina. So the Chiddush of Gemara is that Nesina, it doesn't have to be in her hand. It could be in her field, in her house. And it could even be in the street near her. You still did Nesina and you gave it to her. Because it's right in her feet in the street. What is Tosos could never handle that. What do you mean Gittin Lom L'Dover Acher? Gittin has the same kinyanim as Dover Acher. So why would it be the Gittin V'lo L'Dover Acher? So Tosos L'Shitase answers that it doesn't really mean it. The Gittin Lom L'Dover Acher, Hikshalari, he says, it's not true. He says, really, Balkarcha could work sometimes in Dini Monas as well. At least if you're paying back a loan, you can pay back Balkarcha. He says, he says, it really means it works for Get and for Davar Acher. It just means there's one case when it doesn't work outside of Gittin. What's the one case it doesn't work outside of Gittin? If I borrow money from you in town, and I throw the money back to you in a dangerous place, like in the desert or in the middle of a war, then that doesn't count. But he says, basically, what works for Get works for Dini Mamanos. Just there's way, all they meant is that there's one case when it wouldn't work for Dini Mamanos. I could give you a get, whether it's a convenient place or an inconvenient place, but in Dini Mamanos, I can't repay the loan in an inconvenient place because it's obvious that you're meant to repay in a convenient place. But what Tosus basically says is that, Tosus says, really, Mamanos is like Get. Just, there's one small technical difference, which has nothing to do with the rules of kinyanim. It just has to do with an umdana of fairness, that you can't repay a loan from Midbar. Again, Midbar, imagine, is a dangerous place where your money's not safe. I can't borrow money from you, right? Like the classic case. Right, I borrow money from you, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, we're on the Titanic, and we got our life jackets, and we're waiting to be rescued, and everything's falling up, and I say, as the ship's sinking, I say, the $10,000 I borrowed from you, here it is back. Now I don't owe it to you anymore. Okay, so that's not fair. In that way, if I want to divorce my wife, I could do that. Doesn't have to be fair. Right? But otherwise, Get is like Davar Acher. If I want to repay my loan and I threw you the money in the street and it landed near you, that wouldn't be valid in Dini Mamanos, just like it is in Get. So it could be that Rashi and Tosafot, well, the Shitase, Rashi understands Get is fundamentally different from Davar Acher than Mamon. Because Get is Balkarcha, it's a different ballgame from Mamon. Tosafot says, nah. Sometimes in Dini Mamanos, also the scene of Balkarcha is called the Sina. some things do work in Dini Momonos Valkorcha, David would tell us. Right? There's no fundamental difference in get and Dini Momonos. There's one small technical difference in get and Dini Momonos, which has nothing to do with our main discussion. Okay, other Rishonim take different sides. The Tosfos Rid says, like Rashi there, he just explicitly says the whole Lumdus, and says, okay, oh, get it's the scene, it's not Haknah. So the Tosfos Rid is really the first one, before all the Achronim say the Lumdus, and the Ramban says, like Tosfos, he says, of course get and Momonos are the same. It just means they need a Tekana Drabbanan, Mishamiguna, to make get easier. And they didn't make the Tekana Drabbanan Mammon because there's no problem with Aguna. The Ktos says there might be an interesting Nafkamina also. What if I pick something up in my hand? What if something's in my hand? And I don't have Das to be Kona. Right, without Das. What if I pick something in my hand without Das? So he suggests that, according to Tosos, I should be Kona. Because if something's in my chatzar, I don't need das. Yadu shaladam, chatzir shaladam, kona lo shalom idaito. But according to Rashi, I shouldn't be kona because I bought it, it's das. So therefore, if I picked up a hefker item in Metzia, a $100 bill floating in the wind, I picked it up without das, then according to Tosos, I'd be kona, because yad is kona automatically. According to Rashi, I'm not kona. Hagba is only kona if I have kavana to be magbiya. Okay, there are other nafkamin as well. And that Eben Azel in the same piece, early in the Eben Azel, he quotes from his brother-in-law, the Levush Mordechai Rosh Shiva of Chevron, who wants to say, back in our discussion of the Truma Sakri, that if I pick something up, if I steal something without Kavana, he says, well, if I pick something in my hand without Kavana to steal, to keep it, then that would be theft according to Tosos, because Kinyan Yad doesn't need Kavana, but it wouldn't be theft according to Rashi, because Agba is not Kona without Kavana. Okay, but there you have to be Ma'ayin in those cases.
I was left, why wouldn't Yad require Das? And I realized if that doesn't chutz, if Yad is chutz, then chutz doesn't require Das either.
Right.
If
it's, exactly. Okay.
It's only this Mishtanar.
Right. But Yad is, well, let's assume it's Mishtanar. Correct. Okay. So now, so here we have a fundamental machlokes Rashi. Tosos, Rashi says there's only Hagbah. That's what Rashi sounds like. Let's chazer here for, or let's continue rather here for a second. Rashi says, there's only Kenyan Hagbah. There's only Kenyan Hagbah. The Achronim point out that Rashi later on, and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, might work with Shitase. What does Rashi say in Lamed Aleph Amud Beis? He says, I know we haven't gotten there yet. Kedu Rava, Dama Rava Yodas Olam Chashuva, Linyan Hanocha Shabbos, Kwan Karbal Lavavich, Hihechu, Linyan Shabbos, Chashem Makom, Linyan Mikna, Nami Chashem Makom, Lemikne, Ki'ilu Agvia, Lamala Mishlosha. What does he say? He's talking about a guy who's Kona by dragging something out a doorway, and then it lands in his hand, in his other hand. So, Rashi says, why is he Kona in his other hand? So Tosa says, he's Kona in his other hand, because it's Kenyan, it's in his hand, Ma'abaya. Rashi says, no, you're only Kona in your other hand because it says if it's Hagbah three tfachim. Why is it as if it's Hagbah three tfachim? Because of Rava. Rava says, a yad is chashav like dalet al dalet tfachim. So he says, whatever is chashav like dalet al dalet tfachim, whatever is chashav like dalet al dalet tfachim, that is considered like Hagbah gimel tfachim. Whatever is considered the chashivas of dalet al dalet tfachim is as if you raised it three tfachim. The, what? Ah, okay, but, no, there's a significant difference, right? What's the significant difference? The, don't we see, meaning, Tosa says, no, there's Kinyan Hagbaha, which we all admit, and there's Kinyan Yad. So now we have, what about the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, which is, the Lashon of the Gemara is, Tzirif Yado Bekibla. Tzirif Yado, I mean, I put my hand next to the doorway, and it lands in my hand, and that's a Ken. Tzirif Yado Bekibla is a Kenyan. So, for Tosfos, it's two ways of reading the Gemara. Tosfos reads the Gemara that this line stands by itself. It's obviously a Kenyan. So, just Lishitasam. Lishitasam. Tosfos says that this line in the Gemara is self-sufficient. It doesn't need further explanation. Why?
Kinyan Yad. Why do you need further explanation? Ah, the Gemara then starts talking about the Hilcha Shabbos and Dalet al Dalet. No, that's talking about something else. Well, get to the Tosos, he's talking about something else. Rashi says, no. This line needs a special justification. After all, there's no Kinyan Yad. So why would it work? And what's a special justification? And that's what reads the next line in the Gemara, which is, since Yodol Shel Adam Hashuva Ke Dalid Al Dalid, therefore it is as if it's Gavoa Gimel Tzvachim. So therefore you need a special Hesber there. Once you have a special Hesber, isn't he agreeing with Tosos in the end anyway? So fine. Tosos says the Kenyan Yad. Rashi says, since a Yad is Chashim like Dalet al Dalet, a Yad is Kenyan Hagbah. Don't they end up agreeing in the end? So Lav Dafka. Right? Why Lav Dafka? Here we have three explanations in the Achronim. That's what I put on the sheet. But he's still different from Tosfos. How so? So here we have three different explanations. One is the Sheet of Mekubetzes. Says the Sheet of Mekubetzes, only Yad is Kone because of Chashivas, but not Peh. He says, Rashi might admit in the end that a Yad will be a Hagbah. So he's closer to Tosos, but there's still a difference. Rashi says only a hand has special, if you remember last year, a hand counts a dollar, a mouth doesn't. Right? And that's why Rashi works in our speaking. A mouth doesn't count, it doesn't have chashivas of Hagbah. Only a hand has chashivas of Hagbah. The Magini Shlomo wants to bring Rashi further away from Tosos. Magini Shlomo, what does he say? He says no. Only, what, his first answer to the Magini Shlomo, he says, Uviyado Hashem is Gorav Enoflo Biyado Hashem is only when you place from one hand into the other, it has Chashivos. When does the Yad have Chashivos? Only in the case over there, where with one hand you swept it into the other hand. But in some case, the Yad doesn't have Chashivos. It's only, because what's the case of Dalet al Dalet, with Hanochas and Akira's Shabbos? Only when you take it from one hand, and you're ogre it with one hand, and Meniach into the other hand. That's when it gets Chashivos, and it counts as Hagbah. But a normal case of Yad would not have Hagbah. And the third answer of the Magini, sorry, the second answer of the Magini Shlomo, and this Inami, wants to say, restrict Rashi even more so. He says, only on Shabbos, the Yad has Chashivos. And he compares this to which Gemara in Sukkah? Who remembers? What did the Gemara in Sukkah say? If I have a Sukkah that's based on Pasi B'Ros or other thing that doesn't have complete walls, but it counts on Shabbos, then on Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm not Yotzei the Mitzvah of Sukkah. But on Saturday, I'm Yotzei the Mitzvah of Migo. It's a Dofen for Shabbos, a Dofen for Sukkah. Remember that made problems with the different Rukhaim last year. So that's what the Gemara in Sukkah says. No, on Shabbos, when I'm doing Hotzah, Migo, the hand is Chasha for Hotzah, the hand is Chasha for Agbah. But if it's a weekday, or if it's Shabbos and I'm not doing Chutzah, if it's Shabbos and I'm just I'm carrying things in the Erev, then it would not have Chashivas. So Rashi, and Daphla, you're right, Daphla and Aleph sounds like Tosos, and it sounds like Rashi is getting closer to Tosos. Clearly it's Lashitasam. Meaning, borrow that it's Lashitasam. Because Tosos and Daphla and Aleph says, this line is self-sufficient. The part about Rava that Yad is Chashav is talking about a different topic. A different part of the Sugya. Well, Rashi says, no, the Yad is only Kone, because Rava's Chashivas makes it Ke'ilu Gavo Gimel Tfachim. So you see how Rashi, he's not satisfied with Kenyan Yad, because he's tossing. He has to turn the Yad into Agbah. Once Rashi turns the Yad into Agbah, doesn't it become awfully similar at least? So the answer is no. Maybe Rashi turns a Yad into Agbah, but not a Peh. Or maybe Rashi only turns a Yad into Agbah when you're doing a Hadakir Vanacha into it, not in a normal case. Or maybe Rashi only turns a Yad into Agbah when it's a Chilas Shabbos. and not in any other cases. So Rashi is miskarev a little to Tosos, but A, conceptually he's unlike Tosos, because he needs to come up with a whole hesber why this counts as hagbah, and he doesn't just say kinyan yad. And even practically, he's not so close to Tosfos. According to the beginning of Shlomo, only in limited circumstances your yad has chashivas, not in most circumstances.
If Tosfos is right, why does Rava need yad as dala dala? Why isn't
it? Oh, so that's what Tosfos Dibur Maskel, Rav Ashi says. He says, ma inyan chashivas makom le'inyan kinyan. Exactly. Tosfos says, for me, what do I need this for kinyan? And then the Oud, the ain't sarf shem ra'il havi dekani le'yado. The Pshita says, what do you need a raya? That Tosfos asks the question himself. He says, what do you need a raya of dalet al dalet? Obviously, kinyan yad works. It doesn't be yad. It's a pasuk. So then Tosfos answers, I mentioned, habenira ki giris is not safer. The garis inami kederava. No, it must be inami. The Rav is a totally different answer. It's not a continuation at all. Or he goes from Menutan that maybe they're quoting Rav in a slightly different language and it's about something else. Tosos basically said, of course, that's the Lishitase. Tosos says that the Rav's statement that Yad is Choshev is not continuing this idea, because this idea is self-sufficient. Kenyan Yad is a Pasuk. Rashi says it is justifying this idea. So therefore, they seem to work out well with Shitase, as the Megineh Shlomo and the Shidun Gebetzes, briefly in the Megineh Shlomo at greater length, point out. Now, I'll just add one practical point, which is, according to Tosfos, the Achronim deal with, not this is a hard question. It's not a hard question. It's just interesting to see, not just interesting, but enough means to see the different answers. According to Tosfos, they ask a very simple question. Why do you need Kinyan Hagbaha if we already know Kinyan Yad? Meaning, what's a case of Hagbah? Isn't every Hagbah Kinyan Yad for Tosos? For Rashi, I know why we need Kinyan Hagbah. Because Kinyan Hagbah is the only Kinyan. There is no Kinyan. When I pick it up, that's Kinyan Hagbah. According to Tosos, when I pick this up, it's Kinyan Yad. So what's Kinyan Hagbah? Who needs Kinyan Hagbah? So, what, that's a machlokas between the Nesivas and Rov Achronim versus the Evan Ha'azel and Amir Achronim. What does the Nesivas say? Or what, what might you answer? Forget the Nesivas Evan Ha'azel. What would you think? Why do I need Kinyan Hagbah? Like the seesaw case. Maybe Kinyan Hagbah is only necessary when I'm not holding it. After all, can't I lift things up without holding them? Right? Like, I sit on the seesaw and it goes up.
Or you can't hold them.
Or I kick a soccer ball, right? Hagbah is if I kick the soccer ball, three tefachim or one tefach high in the air. That's Hagbah. Because it's not in my hand. Right? There could be lots of cases like that. The, Hagbah would be if I, a catapult, right? That's Hagbah. Right? I didn't pick up the rock at all, but I caused it, or I fire a cannon. If I fire a cannon, that's Hagbah. I made the cannonball go up, but I didn't hold it. That's what the Evan Ha'azel holds. The Evan Ha'azel holds.
So every case in the Gemara where they talk about Hagbah is where you're not holding it.
Every case in the Gemara is when they talk about Hagbah is either when they're not holding it or they didn't document Hagbah. They also meant Yad. So says the Evan Ha'azel, if I'm holding it, that's Kinyan Yad. If I cause it to rise without holding it. Now, of course, if I'm holding it, it might also be Kinyan Hagbah. That is only Kinyan Hagbah. But, of course, that does end up being a bit strange, as Yeshaya pointed out, which is, then, you really only need Kinyan Hagbah in very limited, strange, peculiar cases. The Gemara talks about Hagbah all the time. You're calling this Hagbah, that with Hagbah. It is a little funny, because then you're really using Kinyan Yad 99% of the time. Hagbah is a very rare thing. So what is it? Why is more talking about Hagbah? You could say like Da'alav Davka, or you could say, well, what they mean is that when you pick something in your hand, it's Yad and Hagbah. But why don't they say Yad, which is the first of the Pasuk? So that's why most Achronim don't like the Evan Ha'azel. But now they're stuck. Most Achronim don't like the Evan Ha'azel. They came before the Evan Ha'azel. They didn't like this possibility. Most Achronim say, no, I don't like this possibility. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, if the whole Kiddush of Kinyan Hagbah is only for things that you're kicking or seesawing or causing to rise in some strange way, then why is Kinyan Hagbah all over Shas? Kinyan Yad should be all over Shas. Hagbah should be for one or two weird cases. So most Achronim, yes, Yaakov? Yes.
So then Yad, when you can do Hagba, Yad won't work.
No, it's only the strongest Kinyan compared to the other Maisei Kinyanim that are not Mamish in your property. Mamish, a Yad, your Mamish holding it, that is a higher Madriga that's not even comparable. I hear your answer, but it can't be.
Well, sorry, so when is that didn't say?
That's compared to Mashikha, mostly.
Right, so meaning Hagba versus Mashikha, Mashikha, so Hagba versus Yad, and Mamish, no?
No, because Yad is more, because Yad is stronger than Hagba.
Really?
All you'll ask, why is Yad not like Ba? Because it's a different Madriga. Yeah, I hear your time, but I don't think you can go. Says the Nesivas, he said, yes.
So can you see in the other direction? That some Rishon hold that anything that you, even if you turn Darko, Limsho, or Limso, or whatever it is, God always works. But, I'm sorry, Hagba always works. Maybe God doesn't always work in that situation.
No, that's what Yaakov was trying to say, but I don't.
This is the other direction. Not saying that when you can't use Yad, then nothing else works. But I'm saying where you can't, where it's not normal that you can use it, but yeah, we still say.
But everything's normal to use Yad, almost.
Not an elephant.
I don't.
Okay, fine, but Hagba's by a lot of other things besides elephants. Okay, here's the time, it could be. Anyway, says the Nesivas, though, he says very posh, he says very interesting thing. Let's take again, we're all Tosfos now. This five shekel coin, definitely Kenyan Yad, right? Definitely Kenyan Yad on this five shekel coin. Do you mind if I touch your hat? This cap. Is this cap in my Yad? I was my Bia, and you all saw me be my Bia, right? It's here. I just was about to be in the cap. Is it in my hand? Well, the Eben Ezel says, of course, it's in my hand. Not so pashut.
I would say. But
how much of the cap is in my hand?
I'm not holding on to it.
Right. The truth, it depends how you look at it. You might say it's in my hand. That's what the Eben Ezel would say. And the Sivas and most of them say no. It says, what's in my hand? This part of the cap is in my hand. Shkayach, I'm coated this part of the cap with Kenyan Yad. I could snip it off with scissors. It wouldn't help me very much.
How much does it get?
The rest of the... What?
How much does it get?
You should know, by the way, that... Yeah, you've never been in a get, I see. You've never been to Bezdin to see the serious get. Do you know what they do nowadays? The hub has a fold of the get so that it fits in her hand. Right. It's
close.
Yeah,
right?
That's close
get to be different.
Right, okay, correct. Yeah, it's a chumrah. Now, what would he say? He says, no. A few inches of this hat are in my hand. The rest of it is suspended in the air. However, I'm the one who caused it to be in the air. The rest of it, part is my hand, the rest of it is not in my hand, but was lifted by me. So therefore, you're right, on the handful that I'm holding there is Yad, but the rest of it is Hagba, and that makes sense. Most Kinyanim are not Yad. Only small things can have a Kinyan Yad. Or at least tall things. He admits, this marker is Kinyan Yad, because the Aver of my Yad, you know, I get the airspace up to heaven. But this is not Kinyan Yad. When I just picked up this marker, says the Nesivas, that's not Kinyan Yad. Kinyan Yad, if I want to cut off, a centimeter of plastic. This is Kinyan Hagba. This marker is not in my hand at all. However, it was lifted by my hand, so my hand's on the other half of the marker. So that's the Chiddush of the Nesivas. Says the Nesivas and the other Achronim, says that... What is in and above my hand is Kinyan Yad. However, what sticks out sideways from my hand, as well as, and what I caused, obviously, and what I caused to rise without holding, that's obviously not Yad. That is only Kinyan Hagbaha. And therefore, says the Nesivas, we understand. Most of the time, you don't do Kinyan Yad. Because Kinyan Yad is only things that fit into your hand. But most things, like this, I have not done a Kinyan Yad on this book. I've only done a Kinyan Yad on, you know, a little piece of cardboard, a few inches of cardboard. I've done a Kinyan Hagbaha on this book. So, that's the basic machlokas. The basic machlokas achronim within Tosfos want to differentiate between Hagba and Yad is everyone agrees that if, I don't know how to draw a hand. I'm very bad at drawing. If this is my hand, right? And here is a chifetz. That is kinyan yad. If this is my hand, and I knock something in the air, and the chifetz flies in the air, that's obviously only kinyan hagbah. I've caused it to fly in the air, I have not caused it at all. The controversy is, if this is my hand and I have fingers, and I am holding something, but it sticks out, then this part is kinyan yad, and this part is a machlokes achronim. The Nesivus and Rover Achronim say it's hagbah, because it's not in my hand. The Evanazah says it's in my hand, it's one piece, it's all in my hand. Nesivus says, no, part of it's in my hand, and part of it's not in my hand. He compares it to chutzer. You can imagine, if I take a desk, and part of it's in my property, and part of it's over the borderline in the street, I'm only kona the parts in my property. So likewise here, only the parts of my hand is in my hand, the rest of it is kinyan hagbah. How do we paskin? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha that I put in brackets, in the Bir Halacha that I put in brackets, paskins this Shaila, like the Nesivus. We paskin like the Nesivus. What's his case? He says, an Eruv, right? I have to hagbah on the Eruv, right? Tomeli Eruv Chatzeros, or Eruv Tchumin, or even Eruv Tavshilin. Someone wants to do it for the whole city. The rabbi wants to do it. You should know, when I say Lechol Yisrael Adar B'Erzos, it doesn't count, because the bread and egg only belongs to me. If I'm the rabbi and I really want to do an Eruv Tavshilin for all these Jews who live in the city, I have to be machnet, I have to call my neighbor and say, pick this up, and be kona on behalf of all the Jews in the city. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if I put it in your hand, do you have to lift it up, or is it enough that it's in your hand? So says the Mishnah Berurah, it depends. If it all fits in the palm of your hand, then you don't have to lift it up. It's just enough that it's in your hand. But if part of it's sticking out, then, and let's say you need the shear, without getting into exactly what the shear is, if part of it's sticking out, then you actually need to lift it up, because what's in your hand is kinyan yad. What's sticking out is not kinyan yad. You need to do hagbah to do kinyan hagbah. And that's halakha l'maisa. We assume if you want to be kona something, normally in business, we don't really use kinyan so much. We use them more for ritual purposes. You know, you want to be kona b'chor and chametz, or kinyanim before Shabbos, so you won't be kona on Shabbos, or eruv tavshilin, or you want to be makneh the meiser, the mekayim the nesinas, meiser ani and meiser rishon, etc. If you want to be makneh something and you put it in your friend's hand, says the Mishnah Berurah, if it all fits in his hand, the kinyan's done. But if part of it sticks out of his hand, that's not a kinyan yet. He has to make sure to lift it to do a hagbah. We paskin like the Tosfos, and that there's a difference in yad and hagbah, and like the Nesivus for halakha l'maisa purposes. Okay, we didn't get to. I apologize. We didn't get to some of these issues that I have ramis to. I said we'll get to soon about exactly how to find a kirit tzar hanacha and the continuation of the halacha of the sugya. We'll have to leave that emir tzashem for next time. So we will continue and finish up this sugya emir tzashem on Monday. Okay. I apologize. I didn't get a chance to write makoros, so just have to.